The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, shout out to the always delightful Vegas chump for getting a VSiN app out of my intro. I kept saying VSiN app for a while. Just out of robotics.
That should probably be on me to recognize things like that. No, I did not at all.
Oh, no, we got it for that. On the show today, a little of everything. By the way, good morning to you, sir. You good?
I'm great. How are you? How are you?
I'm awesome.
Hey, how was your weekend?
I'm going to answer it like a human does. It was lovely. Thank you. It was relaxing. Yeah.
Did you stay away from the winds? The harsh winds of Las Vegas?
Oh, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
So, you know, they have Indian Wells, like tennis's de facto fifth major, which starts in the desert here on Wednesday. Drew Densick and I doing a Beating the Book podcast on it tomorrow afternoon. I hope the winds there are not like they are here or don't persist till Wednesday, because Saturday, Kelly, this is no exaggeration, could not leave my building on the Aria side. So I live right in the middle city center. There's a U essentially that is shaped by the Aria, by where I live, and by the Waldorf. And the wind swirls there.
Yeah.
And if you're about $175 or less, you would have been blown into the strip and you would have been run over by a car. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, literally, your legs are taken up from under you, to the point we have pools on the tops of our buildings. The water from the pools got blown to the ground level.
Oh, my God. That is crazy.
That is how harsh the winds were this weekend. That was unbelievable. Never happened before.
Yeah, I was in a strip property Friday night where I was up top, and I was like, you could feel the building swaying, which is the creepiest feeling in the world.
Ours are already slanted.
I'm like, if I had a few drinks, or is the building moving? No, the building's moving.
Not
okay,
a good
cool.
feeling.
Yeah, great.
We got Matty Cox coming on to talk college basketball. Conference tournaments begins today. Well, one conference tournament does. The Atlantic Sun. We'll talk to him about all conference tournament futures, those that are up, meaning this week's that are up. Schedule's kind of the same this week as it is every year, and then it shifts a little next week, but all the big ones, of course, next week. Joe Sheehan to talk some MLB season win totals with us. Mike Somich will join us from the handle. We'll also talk to Michael Montesano, who won the Booby Prize in circa millions, but is also a huge college basketball head. We'll talk to him a little later on the show. Want to start with our weekly college basketball formula update. I know it feels like we do it more than once a week. Sometimes someone on Twitter will ask about it as an update, but we do it once a week. And with less than 2 weeks till Selection Sunday, Kelly, this is shaping up to be one of the more interesting qualifying years of all time in this. What do I mean by that? More teams than I think ever before potentially will qualify for this in any other given year. Let's get into it. For those who aren't familiar, we've done this every year. We've been on the air every year, the Beating the Book podcast and the Betting Dork before that. Here's the formula. Last 33 champs had more assists than turnovers. 32 of the last 33 had a head coach with Sweet 16. Oh, pardon me. 31 of the last 33 had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience prior to the tournament. 2014 UConn Huskies head coach Kevin Ollie, and last year's UConn Huskies coach Dan Hurley being the exceptions. 27 of the last 28 champs went to the tournament with at least 3 wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. That's how long we've been doing this. And by the way, that was a huge win for Creighton over Marquette, because now they qualify, or at least that particular bullet point, they now qualify on with that win. Last 28 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. 2014 UConn Huskies were the exception there. And 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. The only non-UConn tick of an exception in this whole thing, Baylor finished 22nd in adjusted defensive efficiency in 2021. Here are the teams that currently qualify. You ready for this? 6 currently qualify, Kelly.
Whoa.
With 2 knocking at the door, we literally could have 8 teams qualifying for this. The point of this whole exercise, by the way, is that for as absolute pandemonium and mayhem and chaos that is March Madness in terms of rounds 1, rounds 2, maybe even into the Sweet 16 round, deciphering an actual eventual champion based on this formula actually isn't that hard at all, except for when you might have a year like this. If you end up with anywhere between 6 to 8 teams, this might not help us out all that much. It doesn't really winnow it down as much as it has in previous years. Here are the current qualifiers. These teams are in as qualifying to win the national championship. Houston, they are a qualifier, 13th adjusted offense, first in adjusted defense. UConn, no surprise, they're the defending champs. Fourth in adjusted offense at KenPom, 17th in adjusted defense. They qualify on all other in all other categories as well. Arizona, 6th and 14th, respectively, adjusted offense and defense. Auburn, 14th and 5th, adjusted offense and defense, respectively. Tennessee is now in. Big win over Bama yesterday, and really wasn't a Dalton Connect game. Tennessee, 17th adjusted offense, 3rd in adjusted defense. And Marquette, 19th and 18th, even after having lost to Creighton. They are in. Who are the two teams on the outside just looking in? The aforementioned Creighton team, 12th and 22nd adjusted defense. But Creighton did get their third win against the top 10% RPI. So that one sloughs off. So they are just on the doorstep, as is Purdue. Second in adjusted offense, 21st in adjusted defense at KenPom. Duke can't get there based on the Sweet 16 criteria. John Shire hasn't coached a Sweet 16 before, his team into the Sweet 16, obviously, before. And UNC a little further out, Carolina 26th in adjusted offense. But you have six in, Kelly.
That's wild.
Two literally on the doorstep. We've never had in the history of this formula eight ever qualify before March Madness. We are 13 days away from Selection Sunday.
Well, and they, I mean, you could even bring it back to last year, too, right? I mean, you keep bringing up Hurley, but that is, so Duke is kind of in that same situation right now, right?
Except UConn is the kryptonite. Nobody.
Right. But yeah,
UConn is the kryptonite of this formula.
Yeah, we could be sitting here second weekend, though, and then Duke all of a sudden becomes a qualifier.
If that happens, we might have to remove that. If you have two exceptions, is fine. But if you have three,
you might need to change it into before the tournament starts, where you cut it off or something.
Well, that one is always before the tournament starts. The only things that can change mid tournament are the adjusted offense and defense.
Gotcha.
Now, that's the update on the college basketball formula. NBA last night. I bring this up because we had Drew Dinsick on last week, and I made a point to talk to him about the conundrum that is the Phoenix Suns. If Phoenix gets to the postseason, what would the pricing be on them if they faced a team, and we specifically ended up against the Thunder? We just hypothetically came up with that because, you know, if a team like the Suns and their big three get to a postseason series, that the market would go crazy, and maybe the market would even make the Suns a slight favorite over the Thunder. Now, last night we got this matchup. There was no Devin Booker. That needs to be pointed out. And the Thunder end up beating the Suns as 4.5-point favorites on the road. Suns, Booker-less, 118-110 in a game where Shea did it again. Shea with 35. He scored 30 points now, at least 30, in 46 of the Thunder's 60 games. We are at the quarter pole basically now. I know some teams have played 61, some have played 60, some have played 59, but we're essentially at the quarter pole now. Thunder led this game by over 20 points. They were rolling in this game. They got punched in the mouth. The Suns came all the way back to take the lead, and the Thunder, as cool as could be, with Shea just running the point at 6'6 so efficiently, unbelievable handle in small areas in the key. You were saying off air, like, how many of those shots does he miss? Like, someone track that percentage.
Yeah, he's automatic. Elbow jumper. It's incredible.
I just got a kick out of Doris Burke saying J-Dub 55 times. That was really why I wanted to win. And the Thunder take that blow, and they win it 118-110. And I was texting with Drew a little last night. I was like, well, thank goodness Booker wasn't playing here, right? Because otherwise this would have killed a possibility of this potential series and how we could exploit this price in the playoffs. But the Thunder now, ladies and gentlemen, are the number one seed. Again, quarter pole, still 22 games left to play. They are currently, the Oklahoma City Thunder, in a just glut of great teams in the West, are currently the number one in the number one position by a half game over both the T-Wolves and the Nuggets. It's amazing.
Let's go. Let's go.
It's amazing.
Keep it rolling, OKC. I got some awards that need to get home. I got things that win total just got home. That got home. Over win total cash. That was from preseason. I noticed that last night. I mean, I figured that one was going to get there, but you know how you don't really track those? I was like, oh, yeah. 42. I believe that is the over on my win total. All right, good.
I still don't think they're winning the title, but man, when you watch them play every time, you're more impressed than the previous.
I mean, Nurkic had 31 rebounds against him.
31 boards. Right. That's not even the headline. 31 boards.
And you still are able to overcome that and win a game. How many times do you just see teams disappear in moments like that? When you are just being destroyed by one guy on the boards. I know there was a lot that came out of this game, too. Yes, I thought Dort on Durant was it felt like playoff level defense they were letting go.
Durant had no answers.
Durant couldn't do anything with Lou Dort on him. Was he getting fouled? Yeah, maybe sometimes. Yeah. Whatever. Nurkic complaining about getting fouled. That dude is slamming his like 300-pound body into poor Chet Holmgren. I'm like, Chet, like he felt like Rocky out there. It was like, get up off the mat again. Get up off the mat, Chet. Like how many times he was getting shoved to the ground by Nurkic.
Nurkic is 31 boards.
Yeah.
You know how many of them? You know what the most rebounds in a game since 1983-84 is?
I have no idea. I thought to look this up last night. I didn't go look it up. I am 38, and it's by Andre Drummond. I'm going to guess.
35, just four more than Nurkic had last night. Charles Oakley. AKA okay. Jeff Benson on Twitter.
Okay.
Most rebounds ever in an NBA game. Do you have any idea?
No idea.
Wilt
with how many?
Wilt had 55 in a game 2 years before he scored on.
Maybe be on notice tonight for this same situation as the Thunder visit the Lakers. AD, you might have a big night.
Yeah. Let's talk about the number one seed and some of these awards, MVP and beyond in the NBA. That's next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Baseball's back, and what better way to hit off the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues than with VSIN's free MLB Betting Primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSIN experts, World Series Futures Analysis. Our free MLB Betting Primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB Betting Primer now for free at VSIN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from the D. You're at Bar Canada at the D specifically. Before we get back into the NBA stuff, you wanted to mention something about golf because we have golf today, right?
Yeah, more weather problems on the PGA Tour. They didn't finish up yesterday in Palm Beach Gardens, so Cognizant Classic wrapping up right now. They are on the course. Austin Ekro looks like he's going to take this down. He is 17 under on 18 right now. There is water on that hole, so theoretically things could change here. Three-stroke lead currently over Eric Van Rooyen, who's in the clubhouse. This is EVR with playing over at the Seminole Classic, I think they call it. This big like pro member event down in South Florida with like all these, it's like Tiger playing in it, like all these big rich guys playing in it. I saw the outline of how EVR was going to play in the event today, but just in case he had to get back to the Cognizant Classic to finish it up, they had a driver on standby, Gil, in case there was a playoff or anything. I don't think he's going to need it. He's 14 under. Minwoo Lee's 14 under. He's on 18 right now, but looks like Austin Ekroat is going to take this down. So congratulations to anybody out there with long Austin Ekroat tickets, because that's another triple-digit winner.
Always loved how you and Matt Brown called Eric Van Rooyen EVR, as if he's like FDR.
It's pretty well known, Gil, okay?
Pretty well known about that EVR. Okay, we just talked about the NBA and the Thunder last night. There's a couple things. One, MVP. Jokic remains the favorite, Nikola Jokic. By the way, the Nuggets knocking at the door for that number one seed right now. Jokic minus 155, Shea plus 230. It's going to be tough for Shea. Boy, Shea keeps scoring 30 a game. They end up the number one seed. Is this as simple as who ends up with the number one seed?
Probably.
Let me guess. It's a team award.
Probably. I don't know even if it needs to be that. I think it's just whichever. I think it should be whichever team probably ends up beating out the other. Like, you know, if the Timberwolves grab the one seed.
Yeah. The only reason for those who are didn't really understand what I was saying there. The reason, because I was ranting last week and the week before, well, not the week before because I was on vacation, but last week about how no one, about when Defensive Player of the Year, full disclosure, I have Wembanyama to win Defensive Player of the Year, that forget the fact that Rudy Gobert is this massive favorite, which is clearly a team award, right? Because they're giving it to him because he's the best defensive player on what's clearly the best defensive team. No one's even willing to have the conversation. Forget even changing the market. No one's even willing to have the conversation about the fact that Wembanyama is actually destroying him on individual defensive stats while playing less. Looky here. Wembanyama down to 7-1 now. Defensive Player of the Year. And that on the heels of a performance by Wemby last night. May I call him Wemby? Where he
had BFFs, yeah.
10 defensive boards, 12 total, 6 blocks.
He's awesome.
Another steal. And oh, by the way, 31 points in a Spurs win as they held the Pacers to 105, Kelly.
Yep. He's incredible. I'm not against you. Wembanyama, if he wins this award, it will be a historic win because guys don't typically win this award when the team defenses are that bad. Or is he playing absolutely incredible? Of course he is. I mean, his stats, the only reason he's that short are because his stats are that mind-blowingly impressive.
Most improved is going to be fascinating because your guy Tyrese Maxey, -650, great performance last night.
Hold on, Tyrese. Those were, I mean, we hit on the one game. I mean, one of the big games yesterday, Gil, but like there were a lot of bad L's in the NBA yesterday. Mavericks losing that game at home to the 76ers, bad loss for Dallas. Well, Warriors, I'm not even going to go there. That was
bad spot for the Warriors.
That was a 52-point win by the Celtics, and they can't even, I'm not even going to include them in the conversation of worst loss yesterday.
But the Warriors don't care about that spot.
They were on the road. Right. It was a brutal spot. Timberwolves lose at home to the Clippers. That's a bad loss.
Timberwolves at the end of that game, so bad.
Yes, so bad. And doesn't inspire you much for going.
Because you immediately project to the postseason. You're like, they have no answers in clutch time.
I mean, Cavs were without Donovan Mitchell, but still, Knicks come in there. They're beat up as hell.
How many people bet the Cavs in game when Jalen Brunson went down in that, and then still took it on the chin?
Yeah, good call. I was sitting here doing a show. I didn't even know when he went down. I didn't realize he went down that early. It was literally the first play of the game, right?
The injury looked awful.
Yeah.
But they say, by and large, he's going to be okay.
And then, Spurs Pacers. That's a terrible loss by the Pacers.
About the number one seed now. You betting here?
Man,
number one seed, Western Conference, the Nuggets. Again, the Nuggets, just a half game, along with the T-Wolves, just a half game behind the Thunder at the quarter pole here of the NBA season. They're +125, are the reigning champion Denver Nuggets. The Thunder, +175 to get the number one seed. T-Wolves are +450. The Clippers, who are two games behind the Thunder in the loss column, they are, pardon me, they are 8-1. And if you look at the remaining strength of schedule, it's really kind of a negligible difference between all of them, with the Clippers slightly more difficult in terms of your aggregate remaining aggregate opponent's win percentage. That's how we call the remaining strength of schedule here. Is there a bet for you, sir?
Well, it would be Thunder or Timberwolves. It would be for me. This is interesting. I wanted to make sure I marked the upcoming schedules because
smart of you.
Well, I think there's a possibility where you could grab up some plus prices here on, maybe two teams if you isolate two. And the two I would probably be looking at are the Thunder and the Wolves. I think this is one. The first thing I'll start off with, Gil, like if you're shopping, this is a shop around thing, and I was just noticing this at DraftKings today. If you were going to bet the Nuggets here, I would just bet Nuggets in the Northwest Division where they're +120. Now, it's 5 cents less, but you take the Clippers out of the equation. So then it's Nuggets, Thunder, Timberwolves. So I would do that if I was looking to bet the Nuggets. Thunder and Timberwolves, I'd probably bet in this market, not in the divisional market. But, this is going to swing massively after one big win, one big loss. So the upcoming schedules could play in big here.
So I'm glad you put this up because in the Nuggets case, and I know they're home games, but
they're tough.
If you thought that they were going to lose to both Phoenix and Boston, let's just say you did, then you wait and you bet them after that, right?
Correct.
That's the strategery there.
Which I think I'd be doing that anyways, just of the quality of opponent. I mean, they're going to be favorites in both of those games, but like just quality of opponent. Boston's going to be close to a pick-em probably. the you know, the quality of the opponent, you just wait if you're there. If you're Thunder, Timberwolves, I mean, if you're Timberwolves, you're getting in now. With that, I mean, you got Portland on deck.
Yep.
And then it's going to get a little tougher. So if you like them, you're getting in now. Thunder, depends how you feel about the game tonight, but you're talking about Portland, Miami, Memphis right after that. I think if you like the Thunder, if you like them tonight, you got to get in now. So that plus 175, I think it's them who ends up number one, Gil. I wouldn't mind a bet on the Timberwolves if you're out there, though, because I think yesterday, even watching that Clippers game, it was a bad loss for them. But what did we just talk about at the end of the game? This one, every improvement they can make in the seeding is going to be massive for them. And as many games as they can get at home, they need badly in the playoffs. So I really don't think there's going to be, now that we've seen much of it anyways, but I don't really think you're going to see many of these guys resting or anything like that. And I keep bringing this up. I'm not saying that they're definitely going to rest Nikola Jokic, but at some point, it's just, you know, if anything comes up with him or Jamal Murray, or, you know, Jamal Murray tweaks an ankle or something like that, it's going to be sit down for a couple weeks. Like, we need you when the playoffs get here. We don't need you for the rest of the regular season.
Can I go back to most improved again? Because I know you got the Maxi tickets.
Yeah.
Will you at least concede this? Maxie's minus 650. Kobe White. I have no idea why Kobe White's in here. I really don't. Like, I just can't get behind the Kobe White thing. 10-1. Jalen Williams is now.
He's incredible.
Well, it's 13-1. It was 16-1 this morning. Kuminga a little further back at 25-1. You would concede that the Maxie at minus 650 to Jalen Williams, or again, as Doris Burke loved to say last night a million times, J-Dub. 13-1. You would concede that is way mispriced, right? Like, there's no way it should be that big of a chasm.
It's mispriced. I don't know if it's way mispriced.
It's way mispriced. Put their stats back next to each other. In fact, Michael Montesano will do it later on the show. It's way mispriced.
Okay.
I'm not saying you're not going to win.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, 13-1 on Jalen Williams doing that?
I think we're now... I only say I don't think it's massively mispriced because the point of which we're in the season. We are running out of runway here for these guys to make a case.
We're not quite there, but I would agree with you 5, 6, 7 games.
I mean, Jalen Williams wasn't even posted at most sports books like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, postage mosted. I'm just giving you the facts. We'll go through his numbers versus Maxi a little later on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull him up right now.
You should still be the favorite. I get it. But I'm just saying, like, some of these are still. And that's why I said about Wembanyama with Defensive Player of the Year. No one was even willing to have the conversation with me about it.
Yeah.
Now he's 7-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. There is still enough runway. We're not yet there. But you'll be right about 6, 7 games from now that we won't have enough runway. But we're still a quarter of the season to go.
I think six man are making a bet.
Ooh, we'll come back. A little college basketball, then we'll get what Kelly's doing with six man. College Hoops with Matty Cox next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlon, live here on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Larry Fresh. Always appreciate the feedback. Larry Fresh. I hope Delicious survived the wins. Delicious check coming later today. Ben Handorf. Fellas, can we talk about South Florida basketball and their chances to make the big dance? 22-5 overall, 15-1 in conference. Lenardi has them on the 11 line, yet some VSiN hosts don't think they make it. Got them at 1,000-1 a month ago, currently 66-1 to make the Final Four. I think they probably need to win their tournament. Three-man weave check chimes in. And they say the same. As cruel as it sounds, they likely have to win the tourney to get a bid, their conference tournament to win the bid. They played just one Q1 game all season, have two Q4 losses, and a 322nd ranked strength of schedule nationally. The resume metrics aren't that far off from bubble discussion, though, from bubble discussion, that is. So it's possible if they make a run to the title game, it could happen. So there is that. If only we had a three-man Weaver to answer that directly in front of us. Ladies and gentlemen, we do. The founding father of three-man weave, ladies and gentlemen, the great Matthew Cox. How you doing, Matty?
Honor and privilege, Gil. It is the month of March, the greatest month of the year for some, depending on how the old profit loss return goes. But as of now, hopeful, optimistic, glass half full, and we'll see what happens.
Was that you who responded on the three-man weave account to that question?
No, and it's never me on the hand. When anything bracketology is Jim and Kai. I don't subscribe, nor do I. Have I been trained in such a field? So I kind of, I'm an acceptor of the bracket, and I just take it as it comes to me. So
you guys, what happens to you guys this time of year? You become a more difficult get on the show. Do you guys go? You get very big time during the tournaments. What happens to you guys?
I think our heads. It's mostly more in our heads, Gil. I don't think there's actual. There's no real substance to our glow up, but it certainly gets to our egos, and so it's probably something to do with our our tougher booking requirements.
I see. Okay. Well, let me just ask you this before we get to conference numbers for this week. And let me just, for those who are unfamiliar, today the Atlantic Sun Conference Tournament starts with a couple games. Tomorrow, Horizon League, Patriot League, Sun Belt. This is the standard schedule for the first week. Wednesday, Big South, Northeast Ohio Valley. Thursday, Missouri Valley, West Coast Conference. I'll be there for that here in Vegas. Friday, the Coastal, formerly the Colonial, by the way. Southern, Summit. And then over the weekend, America East, Big Sky. Sunday, the Southland. And then next week, obviously, the bigger conferences with that's a little weighted differently than it was in previous years with Wednesday being when just a massive amount start. Some start on Tuesday, like the ACC and the A-10 and the Big 12. But anyway, two games in the Atlantic Sun today. Before we get into some of the odds this week that are up there at DraftKings, what about the case of the teams that are currently ineligible for the 2024 tournament? So 11 teams in D1 hoops are, and this has to do with transferring to D1 and this ridiculous draconian rule where you got to wait 25 years before you can play in the tournament. It's actually 4 or 5 years. Bellarmine, Lemoyne, Lindenwood, Queens, St. Thomas, Southern Indiana, Stonehill, Texas A&M Commerce, and Utah Tech. But the two that I want to ask you about are both in second place in their respective conferences. Tarleton State, second in the WAC. They're 15-3. Grand Canyon is 16-3. UCSD, wow. If you've ever been on that campus, you'll never leave, by the way. Second in the Big West, a game behind UC Irvine. Might there be, when those, and I don't see them up at DraftKings, but if they're somewhere else, might there be a betting opportunity in either of those two cases? Because if either of those teams, talking about Tarleton and UCSD respectively, get to the final of their conference tournament, the team they're playing is the auto bid. Might we see that? Will that be factored into the numbers?
You have to check by book, obviously, and check the bylaws of each book. But the Tarleton case has been what I've been on all year. I just think it's an awesome team. It's been a team that I feel like is wired to want to spoil the party for everyone else. I think they're going to be a tough out in that WAC Vegas setup there in your guys' backyard. But I think you have to line shop there, Gil, because I think you will see some mispricing, some books not being privy to that. We saw this last year, right? With Jacksonville, State won the outright, and then the auto bid went to the team that lost in the other semifinal game, I should say. And UC San Diego, the other one you mentioned there as well, last year of being ineligible. We've heard in prior seasons coaches talk about how it's been harder to keep their kids motivated down the stretch when they know there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. However, I think these two teams have been playing well late in the year, so I don't feel like there's a white flag or like a quitting aspect there. Southern Indiana, USI now, a third example, they did kind of taper off last season as they came down the stretch, knowing that there was no actual, nothing to play for toward the end. So it's very case by case. I hate those landmines. I try to avoid them altogether if I can with buying conference tournament futures and betting those game to game.
All right. Can we do this? Let's do these chronologically this week. About 10 conference lines are up in terms of who's going to win the conference tournaments. I'm curious if there's a play. We'll do them starting with the Atlantic Sun, where Eastern Kentucky is the short shot here at plus 140. Lipscomb 3-1, Stetson plus 350, and then everybody 9-1 or longer, starting with Austin Peay. Any play here?
No play. I think some of these prices here are, again, you got to find something really good in these conference tournament prices with some of the whole percentages where they're set, depending on where you're shopping at. I mean, my pick to win it is Eastern Kentucky, but not at plus 170, plus 200. I think there's enough challengers in that league that can beat them. Lipscomb, notably, is the highest analytically rated team in that conference, but I still think Eastern Kentucky is the best team and the team most likely to come out of that bracket, but no value there at the top spot.
Okay. Tomorrow, Horizon, Patriot, and Sunbelt. Youngstown State, the short shot just by a tick over Oakland and Wright State in the Horizon. Patriot League, it's Colgate, the favorite at minus 250. BU at 6-1 is the second shot. And James Madison now, a tick of a shorter shot than App State in the Sun Belt. Anything there tomorrow?
So Horizon, I like Wright State. They have the toughest opening draw of the four teams. Like, there's five teams that got the opening round draw. But any of the top five seeds have a huge advantage, specifically the top four who get the home court and get to play a team on a day off Tuesday to Thursday. They're waiting for that team coming off Tuesday. I think Scott Nagy is a guy who hasn't played defense much this year, hasn't played defense the last few years, but they've been really good in this conference tournament format. They have probably the best, the top two players with Trey Calvin and Tanner Holden. If they match up well with their draw, love the Oakland story, love the Green Bay story and Sonny Wicks on the opside of the bracket. But I think my best bet there is Wright State. Sitting at 3-1, 4-1. I think they're a pretty good bet there to rattle off three in a row.
Okay. Wednesday, Big South and Ohio Valley. High Point, the favorite in the Big South at minus 120. And in the Ohio Valley, Morehead State, Phil Sims' alma mater, now checking in at even money.
You got to take Little Rock or Tennessee Martin in the Ohio Valley. They got the top two seeds. They have to win two games to win it. They kind of stack the deck like the WCC does. Little Rock, to me, is just an absolute wagon right now. They got a kid, Mikel Mitchell, played Arkansas last year. Late eligibility clearance. They've been dominant the last few weeks. They look like a legit upper major caliber team in a pretty watered down conference, truthfully. So I know Morehead's been the best team top to bottom, but Little Rock is my other bet in this. What's their current odds you see right now? Go in front of you if you have it. I don't have it.
+225 on Little Rock.
Yeah, that's even better than my previous Wright State value. I think anything +200 or better, 2-1 is a good value. That they'll be favored in that semi and should probably be favored in that final game too. I think they match up well with whoever comes out of the bottom half of that bracket.
All right, and lastly for this week, Thursday, Missouri Valley and the West Coast Conference. The Sycamores of Indiana State are your short shot, barely though, over Drake, +170 to +210 in the Missouri Valley. And the West Coast Conference, which of course is here in Vegas. You don't have to rush and say Pepperdine just for me. I get it. You don't have to say them. Gonzaga, obviously the favorite, but just slightly so over St. Mary's with San Francisco as the third shot there.
Yeah, no value in WCC, Gil. I was looking at Romar's last, I think, 6 years of conference tournament ATS record. He's been very good. He's been very good in the conference tournament. I'm not sure if that's him or just the fact that his players kind of rise and play much higher than they're supposed to throughout the regular season. But I do kind of like in the Valley looking at Northern Iowa as a sneaky dark horse. They got one of the top four seeds. I think they match up well with everyone in this bracket. They're playing the best, trending up the steepest, I should say, of anyone in this field right now. Drake's been really hot, but I still think UNI is this sneaky dark horse that can beat Indiana State. Then they catch the winner of Drake Bradley, which should be a really, really close affair. I like UNI there. It's kind of a good dog shot.
Your favorite play in college basketball today, 10 seconds, is?
Montana over. Travis DeCure, 3 games in 5 days. I think there's no defense in that game. A lot of points against Idaho State.
Matt, enjoy the week. Enjoy the month. We hope to talk to you again if you will do us that pleasure.
Oof. Well, we'll see where our rates go to the next week. But yeah, appreciate it. Good luck, fellas.
Thank you, sir. Matt Cox from 3-Man. We've at 3MW_CBB. We'll talk some NFL on the other side next.
Numbers game on V. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets. If your first bet loses, download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, here at the D, the Barrage, downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets, and some of the tweets clarify what we say. So a shout-out to John Burgo, who says, FYI, regarding the WAC tournament, if a team that is not eligible for the NCAA tournament wins the WAC tournament, the conference's automatic bid will go to the highest-seeded tournament-eligible team, Grand Canyon, minus 135 to make the tourney on DK was a great play. So, yeah, every conference with its own rule on that. But that is, again, such a bizarro thing by rule that you have to wait all those years to be eligible.
It's so silly.
Just makes no
sense. It's so silly, yeah.
So if you're Tarleton, like,
what's the point of being promoted?
It's just
whatever we're calling it. But you know, when you go up, isn't that the whole point? Like you go up a level to be able to compete for the biggest prizes on the next level.
For Tarleton and UCSD, that delay could prove to be really upsetting this year. We shall see.
Tarleton State in what state?
Tarleton State? Oh, Texas.
Yeah, we've played this game before. Yeah. They're all in Texas, by the way.
Every single school?
Yeah, all the schools that we ever wonder this about, the answer is Texas.
We're also going to do a Beating the Book Megapod at March Madness preview. Drew Dinsick and I are going to do Indian Wells tomorrow. But then, of course, we're going to do our March Madness Beating the Book Megapod preview with Will Hill, who called FAU in the Final Four last year, and Todd Wishnev, who called the finals last year. Between UConn and San Diego State, if memory serves. So, yeah, we'll do that. And maybe a third special guest.
Oh.
Because we tried to get him on ANG. He's like, I got to sleep. But he's like, but I'll do the Megapod.
Just didn't know where you were going there at first.
So we'll see. Because I don't want to say his name out loud because I don't want to get people all riled up.
You don't want to build up the excitement.
No, because
then he doesn't show.
No, he doesn't show. That would be too
bad. It's egg on your face, man. You can't do that.
That's right. I also just don't want to get people worked up because I get so excited.
No pressure on Will and Todd, you know.
No, well, Will and Todd, brother. Oh, well, by the way, NFL news this morning, just before we got on air. And you were all over this, Kelly. You immediately texted.
That's right. I broke the news. I let my friend Adam Schefter know.
You did?
Yeah. Let him do his thing.
Buccaneers and five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Mike Evans reaching agreement on a two-year, $52 million deal that includes $35 million guaranteed, his agent told Schefter. Evans was projected to be one of, if not, the top free agent wide receivers available. It's a bit of a surprise that he decided to stay in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But his stat, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, dude. Like, his stats, just his counting stats are amazing.
He's going to be one of those guys that, like, yeah, when we're discussing around Hall of Fame time.
Oh, it's going to be too much to ignore.
Well, there's going
to
be some people that are going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, no way, Mike Evans, are you kidding me? Like, no way.
Does this mean that Baker Mayfield is going to stay?
I don't know. Like, so this is more, I guess the most fascinating part of the story to me is what does it mean for others, right? Not exactly Mike Evans and the Bucs. What does it mean for Baker Mayfield? What does it mean for, I mean, he was a guy who was heavily linked to the Chiefs, right? That we thought the Chiefs were going to be in play for. What does it mean for Kansas City and what they decided to do with the wide receiver position? I just feel like it raises more questions for me about some of those other teams and other players.
By the way, Mike Evans, 762 career receptions, 11,680 yards, 94 touchdowns. So he just keeps doing that year after year after year. It's going to be hard to ignore.
Yeah.
Wideouts are tough, though, in the Hall of Fame. Like, they wait. Unless you're the cream of the crop, you wait a long time before they let you in, typically.
And he might, I mean, yes, he very might well be might one be, of those yeah, guys. He very well might be one of those guys.
All right, let's talk some NFL. Just a heat check on the NFL, division by division. I know Mike Evans in Tampa Bay's in the NFC, but let's start with the AFC here.
We just got odds posted, yeah. DraftKings just posted division odds.
Just posted at DraftKings. Let's look at all four AFC divisions in a snapshot where the Ravens are the short shot in the AFC North with they're plus 105 with the Bengals plus 170, the Brownies plus 550, and the Steelers quarterback unknown at 12-1. Is there anything about that surprises you? Not necessarily that the Ravens are shorter than the Bengals, but that the Browns are markedly lower than those two. Does that surprise you?
No,
not me either, but I'm sure someone would be.
Yeah. No. Because Dustin and I talked about a bit about these on Live Bet Sunday yesterday. He brought that up as being surprised there. And I'm not. I think we're at the point with the Browns of where we know exactly what they are until Deshaun Watson proves me otherwise. Like I loved Deshaun Watson back in Houston as a player. Like that, he was incredible. I thought he was going to come to Cleveland and really change things. I know he was hurt for most of last year. Any faith that I had in Deshaun Watson going there and being a big time quarterback is pretty much gone at this point. So could he prove me wrong? Yeah, he could, but I'm not running to bet plus 550 there. I'm still a little surprised there's that big of a separation between Baltimore and Cincinnati.
I am too. Like in other words, if you're saying you must make a bet, I would make the Bengals.
It would be Bengals. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have many a Bengals bet for next year.
I think I will too.
AFC South, Texans
sorry. And a positive update on Burrow, right? Didn't that just come through?
Yeah, he's going to make the OTAs. Yeah, he's going to play in the OTAs in May. AFC South, Texans plus 160, just shorter than the Jaguars. I think you misspelled that. Plus 190. Kidding. Colts plus 275.
Just maybe do a double take. Yeah, what?
Because people say Jaguars. Titans 10-1. That team not like the others, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So Texans, Jags, and Colts bunched up with the Titans, a distant long shot. That seems about right to me. Because here's the thing. Most people will immediately be high on the Texans and low on the Jaguars. Yeah. And I was pointing this out when we were doing, remember we did our hypothetical, will they make the playoffs, will they not make the playoffs? Was that what we did?
Well, we did
before vacation.
Yeah.
And I remember just saying,
oh, yeah, playoff team next year.
Right.
Yeah,
I said Jags, yes. And I said Texans, no, just because none of this is ever linear.
No.
So, but that's about right. I think the price.
I think those make sense. I'll tell you one. I think those odds make sense for the South. I don't think I'll bet them to win the division because I think there's going to be some overreaction on both sides, right? Texans and the Jaguars. I think it's as good as CJ Stroud was.
Yes.
It's going to be difficult for them to be exactly as good as they were next year. And the Jags, I know we all, hey, Jags guy right here lost a lot of money on him, okay? I still don't think, I haven't gone complete 180 and think this team is absolute trash either. They're somewhere in the middle.
Well, that's what I was getting at when we did that exercise. Yeah. There's going to be a bit of an overreaction.
There is, and there's some people that are going to go into the season with that. The Colts are interesting.
And then the Colts are the sneaky, freaky team, right?
They are. That will be, I think that's a win total over bet for me for sure. I don't think I'll get involved in the division because I do think this could be a three-team race. Win total over on the Colts, though, is probably a bet for me. I love Anthony Richardson. The brief period we got to see him in the pros, oh, man, watch out for him.
This division is the most fascinating to me of the AFC divisions in terms of the pricing. The AFC East, where it's no surprise the Bills are the short shot at plus 130. The Dolphins are plus 180. And the New York Jetropolitans, 3-1.
Yep.
Just cozied up to those two teams because of the return of Aaron Rodgers. And then the Patriots are 20-1. Are you surprised the Jets are that snuggled up to the other two teams?
No. I think the prices here are I think these are fairly accurate. I think the Dolphins could be even longer. I think the Dolphins, much like I just said about the Texans, I think the Dolphins will be good next year. I think for them to replicate the kind of success they had this past season on the offensive side of the ball, that's just going to be tough. There was a lot of things that went really right for that team this year.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron Rodgers is 40 currently. He will be 41 December 2nd, so into the month of December of this upcoming football season, coming off an Achilles injury, which I know all the doctors told you he could have come back last year, but he's 40 and 41 coming off an Achilles injury. Really, you're not surprised? They're 3-1? I'm a little surprised.
I'll say
5-1, 6-1. Yeah. Okay, 3-1.
I have no interest in it. No. All I'll say is this is because I'm going to make this point about an NFC team later. We talked about it a little bit when we've discussed awards. If you had any interest in a Robert Saleh, a Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not winning MVP. I don't think you're not getting the media members on board for him to win MVP. You start here and then you maybe sprinkle the others. But I'm not running to bet the Jets at 3-1.
AFC West, to me, the least interesting of these AFC division odds. Chiefs minus 190, the defending champs. Chargers 3-1, and then Broncos and Raiders, respectively, 10-1, 11-1. I have nothing to say about that. That seems fairly accurate to me. Some might say the Chargers are somewhat shorter than they ought to be. I don't know. I think they're right. You know, that sounds reasonable. If I had to make one bet on this entire board, it'd be Bengals plus 170.
Me too. Me too. For and honestly, when these, you know, I'm sure they're not down in Vegas yet. When they do, plus 170?
Yeah.
That might be it.
And the worst bet on the board to me is the Jets at 3-1. Because you just don't know.
You have no idea. I mean, a lot of these teams, yeah.
We'll do the NFC later on the show.
Yeah.
How about that? I like that. Good on DK to have those up. Lebatard is next. Dan Lebatard on the DK Network, of course. We're coming back with a little baseball break. Joe Sheehan on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.